So we're going to be looking at Titus 3. So if you want to get Titus 3 ready in your Bibles, it's a bit different on a device now because you can't put fingers in different pages, can you? But before we start on Titus 3, I want to read from Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Okay, so you need to understand what I'm going to be talking about. And the title, again, if you want a title, is Do What Is Good. But you need to understand that we are not saved by good works. Okay, so we're going to start with that. You are not saved by the good things that you do, but good things are important, and we're going to look at that now. Any of you got a good memory? Good memory? Yeah? Anybody have any of you really struggle? Memory's a strange thing, isn't it? When we talk about memory. So Titus 3, the first line says, remind the people. Remind the people. Why does it say remind the people? Well, it says remind the people because we forget. We forget things. They go out of our minds. We need to be reminded of things. It's interesting that my mum and dad are here this morning. Wave, mum. Amazing, mum and dad. Do you know, the patience that my mum has with regards to my memory blows my mind. Even as a child, I would forget things very frequently. Only recently, she phoned me up and said, "Will you come to our house? Pick this up on your way to Katie's because it's for Katie and you need to give it to Katie." I forgot. I've done it before where I've drove past my mum's house when she lived at the previous house. She's asked me to call for something, pick it up, and I've drove past the house. She's been in the kitchen window and seen me drive past. We forget, don't we? You know, Sally, and again, this is the beauty of marriage, isn't it? Sally has learned that if I need to remember something, she will phone me and ask me. If it's picking something up, she'll phone me and ask me. She'll then phone me again just before I leave the office and church. And then she'll send me a text message as well, just to remind me, because she knows I forget. And yet here, Scripture is saying, remind the people. So it must be important. If Scripture is telling us, remind the people, it must be important. So what is it telling us to remind the people? Well, it says remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. We're going to come back to that one. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. We'll just pause there a second. Why is he telling us, Paul writing to Titus, and saying, you need to remind these people, remind the church, that they need to be subject to rulers and authorities. They need to be obedient. They need to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and show true humility towards all men. So if there's a true humility, that means there must be a false humility. That's something to note, isn't it? That we can look as if we're humble, but we know it's not always the case. And then we go on and it says, at one time, we too were foolish. So he's basically saying, remind them this, because we too used to forget that, and we were foolish then when we forgot to do that. So we were foolish when we didn't subject to rulers and authorities, and we were obedient, and we didn't do what is good. So he's saying, we were foolish then. Do you remember when we were foolish, and we were disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions? The passions of the flesh are so strong, aren't they? And getting stronger, you can see whatever you want, wherever you are. It's publicized wherever. The sins of the flesh. Deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. A contrast there of doing what we're told, being a blessing to other people, doing what is good, slandering no one, to following the desires of what we want. But as Christians, we can say with this in verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us. Hallelujah. Not because of the righteous things that we have done. Remember I said in Ephesians, it's not the good works that save you. It's Jesus Christ. It's your repentance and faith. You're putting your trust in Jesus Christ that saves you. But this says he saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Hallelujah. We know that salvation is an awesome gift. That it's nothing of what we have done or can do, but all because of Jesus Christ. And I've got to tell you, if you have come to church this morning, if you are watching on the live stream, whichever camera we're on, and you don't know Jesus, and you think just by doing good works is going to get you to heaven, I'm sorry, but that is not what the Bible says. Verse 7, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. We can be heirs with Christ. How amazing is that? This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. There's some strong words just in that one line there. I want you to stress. How can I stress something important? This is so important, you have to understand. I can't stress it enough. You say it with body language. You say it in the tone of your voice. I can't stress this enough. And this is what we're wanting to see now in Scripture, so that those who have trusted, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him to save your life on the day when Jesus judges, or when God judges all mankind? Have you put your faith and trust in him? In God, may be careful. Are you careful in the way you're working out your salvation with God, in the way that you act, in the way that you respond in life? Are you careful? And then the word devote. Devote is such a powerful word. Do you devote to doing what is good? Now I started that we are not saved by good works, but this is telling us that we should be careful to devote ourselves to doing what is good. So this is telling us that we should be doing what is good. We should be doing what is good. These things, so why do we do it? These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. You see, when you do good, it's generally not for yourself. You're doing it for somebody else. You're trying to bless others. You do good. When you look at the word devote, I looked at the dictionary because I like to try and really understand what Scripture is saying. It says, give all or most of one's time or resources to this thing. God wants us to devote ourselves to doing what is good because they're excellent and profitable. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law because these are unprofitable and useless. Then verse 10, it says, warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Strong words, aren't they? The harsh words. But what is God saying here? He's saying we've got to be a blessing to those out there. And if there's divisiveness in the church, in the fellowship, warn them once and hope and pray that they listen. Give them a second chance. Otherwise, out the door. Have nothing to do with them. This is the importance of what God is saying, that we should be set apart. You know, I like when I'm preaching, I like to look at what has God been saying over the last few weeks. What has God been saying to us? When we had Dennis preaching about the wise and foolish virgins, that we've got to be ready. The if you're left outside, that's it. You're left outside. The door's shut. You remember? We've had we then had who? Yeah, we had Ben. Ben came. He came last week, didn't he? And he spoke about arise. What was it, week before? About arise and just being bold and being able to speak to people in a shop or a cafe and saying, "I like to pray. Can I pray for you?" You know, just being bold. We need to be set apart. And then we had Dan, who was talking about the open doors and the testimonies that you heard of people standing on God's word. Amazing what God is doing and saying. We have got to be set apart. So we're clear that by works we are not saved. But this should be an outpouring of who God is and what he has done in our lives. That it is through repentance and faith and confessing to God our sins, turning our backs on our sins and putting our faith and trust in Jesus. I love that line that he said, I think it was last week, becoming a master at trusting Jesus. How awesome is that line? I want to become a master at trusting Jesus because there is stuff that's going on around me that I really don't understand, but I trust him. He knows what he's doing. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Amen? So why am I emphasizing doing what is good? Why the emphasis? Well, Titus 1:16 says they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. They claim to know God. Remember what Dennis was saying about wise and foolish virgins? They claim to know God, but being a follower of Jesus is so much more than just saying that prayer once. I think the church has done so much damage over the years. You say this prayer, ask Jesus into your heart, and you'll become a Christian. I'm sorry, but it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural asking Jesus into your heart. The Bible is very clear, repentance and faith. Very clear. Not asking Jesus into your heart. It says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Yeah, Jesus captivates our hearts and takes our attention. But it's so much more. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live life self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. What does it say next? Eager to do what is good. Eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. When I really felt that the Lord was saying to preach on this, again, if you've preached and are talking to the preachers, you have such a battle in your mind of, are you sure I should be preaching? Are you sure I should bring this to the church? You think of every excuse going to think, can't I just preach something nice? You see, doing good is not a condition of salvation, but an outpouring of what God has done in our lives. It really is such an honour and a privilege to be in the position that I am as pastor of the church. I'll tell you something, if you want to know and hear of what God is doing when people do good things, talk to Kevin, talk to Rachel, talk to Peter. You'll find out some of the testimonies that Kevin comes to me and tells me, oh, we did this, just a nice thing, and God did this. You hear from Peter of what's happening in the lighthouse. We did this, we just served him a meal, and God did this. You hear of what they're saying in Food Bank. We just give them a bag of food. But you ought to hear what God has done in their lives. Hallelujah. The just simple acts of kindness. You remember that? Ark, acts of random kindness. There were a whole thing years ago that they tried to get people. It wasn't a church thing. They called it Ark. They said, let's get everybody to do acts of random kindness. Because they know an act of random kindness or just an act of kindness improves society. God knows what he's doing when he writes scripture and he says, do what is good. It's not just for our health or somebody else's health. It's because it improves society. So what are good deeds? What are they? In 1 Timothy 5:9, it says, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and this bit, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. I want to ask you, are you doing good in society? Because if we all left this place and decided, I am going to do one act of kindness a day, can you imagine how much better the world would be? I challenge you, the next time you're in the shopping queue, pay for the person's shopping, either in front or behind you. Do it just because you can. Because God has given you some money in your bank account and you can use it to bless others. When you see that next person at the fuel station, pay for the fuel. Bake somebody a cake. Take somebody some flowers. There's so many things that we can do that are just practical things. It says, bringing up our children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, Sally and I have the privilege of going to Dennis and Cheryl's this afternoon for lunch. I'm just hoping, because we know God, that Scripture is important, isn't it? And I've just read that it's well known for a good deed, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, which is what they're doing, and washing the feet of the saints. I'm not sure that Dennis was expecting that, but my toenails could do with clipping as well, are you? Oh dear, no, you don't want to go down there. Why do we do what is good? Titus 3:14 says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good, in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. You see, when you develop an attitude, a culture of giving, it naturally comes back. And you don't do it because it's going to come back. You do it because you want to bless. You want to bless others. But God has this awesome policy, if you want, that what you give comes back, a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together and running over. There's some of you in here that are street pastors. As you know, I ran the team in Rotherham. And yeah, it's horrendous. It really is. Going out at 10 o'clock at night, it really is. When everybody's going to bed, you're going out onto the streets. But I'll tell you something. The way God uses you blows your mind. It really does. I have never seen, and I'm being honest here, I have never seen so many instant answers to prayer than I have when I've been out street pastoring. Absolutely incredible. There was one time we acted out, you know, the Good Samaritan? You can read it in Scripture. We acted out that story. Well, I was radioed by CCTV. They said, street pastors, can you go down to this man down so-and-so road? He looks in a mess. And I radioed back, said, yeah, no problem. We'll go down and have a look. We was at the top of a hill and he was at the bottom. And again, I am not making this up. As we were walking down on this side of the road, so on the path there, there's the road, there was people walking down and they were crossing over to the other side of the road. They were bypassing him. And that happened numerous times. I'm not sure if one was a vicar. I'd hope not at 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know what I'm saying. There's so many people walking over to the other side of the road. We went down. We bandaged his wounds. He'd been involved in a fight. He'd had his stuff nicked. And they'd broke his jaw. He was bleeding. He was in a right mess. We bandaged his wounds. We tried to get an ambulance, but an ambulance was going to be 3 or 4 hours. They'd got none. And we eventually were about to put him in our car and take him to hospital. And then an off-duty police officer just turned up and showed us his badge and he says, I'll take him. He'd heard on the radio that we're struggling and took him to hospital. About 2 months later, he came running up to me, squeezed me. I'm like, I didn't recognize him. He says, you saved my life. I'm like, what did I do? He says, I'd been punched, I broke my jaw, I've had it wired. He says, and everybody was bypassing me. And you came and you saved my life. Just an act of kindness that we went and supported this man. See, it's interesting to know that that story is a teacher of the law that's trying to trip Jesus up, isn't it? When you look at the beginning bit, it says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. So he's referring to the law that we get in Leviticus 19. And that says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the strangers. I am the Lord your God. It's a custom that's been part of Scripture since the beginning. Don't gather anything. I'm sure you've not got wheat fields and you've not got vines that you... But you understand the principle is to look after those that can't look after themselves. Who is my neighbour, he says. Which of these do you think is your neighbour? He says, the one who helps him. Go and do likewise. We're called to go and do likewise. I want to read Matthew 25. Where a very similar story to what Dennis preached a few weeks ago, which is about the sheep and goats. Very interesting to read this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You understand the reference. There's people that go to church that say they're Christians but don't live it. Those are the goats. The sheep are those who live a repentant life and every single day acknowledge Jesus in their lives and say, I cannot live today without you. Then the king will say to those on his right, you are all on my right. You are the righteous of heaven at the minute. I'm sorry, left people. I'll come to you in a minute. Come. You who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer. Can you all read it out? It carries on. When do we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer. Read it with me. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You see, this scripture doesn't just tell us about what we do, it tells us about what we don't do. So if you think just coming to church and sitting there and doing nothing, if you think going out and doing no good deed whatsoever is going to get you to heaven, it's so much more. God says you're not grasping a hold of what eternal salvation is all about. It's about bringing everybody with us. God's desire is that none should perish. And if we can do that just by buying somebody's shopping, just by doing that good deed, if we can share God's love with one person. I know when I've done the evangelism training course and people have said to me, but I get so fearful. I get so scared of talking to people about God. I ask you the question, which is bigger, your fear or God? We need to get into a habit that we don't tell God how big our fear is or how big our problem is. We tell our problem how big God is. Because while ever we talk to God, God, this is so big, I can't do anything, while ever we act defeated, we'll believe it. But while ever we tell our problem how big God is, it changes our perception. And that's what we need to do. Change our perception. Whatever you did for the least of these, it's ultimately not for the poor, not for the people that need this, but we're doing it for Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Especially. You know the scripture where it says, some of you have even entertained angels without you knowing it. That's got to be somebody that is not in here, not in the family of believers. That's got to be a stranger off the streets. That's got to be somebody who's struggling in life and you have invited them in. And scripture says, some of you have entertained angels and you don't even know about it. But to especially those in the family, which is why I have to praise, and I'm not praising, we're praising God, but what Cynthia and Nakechia and Anita and some of you others and Dennis have done with George is absolutely amazing. And I know there's so many of you out there that are doing good deeds. Please don't hear me wrong. This is not beating you down. I am celebrating with you all. Because we buck the trend in this church of so many people that do good stuff. So many of you. You know, churches usually run on the statistic of 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I have counted up how many people in this church do something, serve on a team, and we are so much higher than 10%. We're a good 60, 70% of us that are doing something in the church. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Pastor John. You're doing it for God. We're doing it for each other. We're blessing each other. But we know that Christianity is not just about us enjoying ourselves and having a lovely, comfy club that we can meet together. It's about the benefit of those that are not part of us yet, isn't it? Christianity is about benefiting those, bringing them in into the kingdom. Research shows, and I've found this on the Mental Health UK website, research shows that helping others can be good for our mental health. It reduces stress, improves our emotional well-being, and even benefits our physical health. In short, doing good does you good. Do you know, the world is only just catching up with what scripture has said for a long time. They just don't know it yet. And we're the ones who need to tell them about it. God is so good. And I want us to celebrate in all that God has done. And let it be an outpouring. One of the things that we often say in the worship team when we meet is we worship God out in an expression of all that he has done. How can we not but worship him? How can we not give him all the praise and glory because of what he has done for us and does for us day by day? Again, scripture says, well, if you don't worship him, even the very rocks will worship him. He's deserving of so much worship that if you don't worship him, a stone will worship him. That's just how much creation is crying out about Jesus Christ. And we have the words of eternal life that we can speak to people. And you can do it just by blessing them. I'm sure you've thought of things you can do to bless somebody, to do good to others. I'm going to finish as I started. You are not saved by good works. It will not get you to heaven. There's only Jesus Christ that will get you to heaven. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's nothing of what you can do. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Trevor and the team could come up, please. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge that it's all about you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. Lord, I thank you that you saved me. God, thank you. Thank you. And I pray that out of all that you have done in my life, let it pour out and be seen by others. Let us all share this amazing gospel, this good news. Lord, I pray that you will challenge each and every one of us. That as we read about the sheep and goats, as we've heard over these last few weeks about being a bit bolder with you, being a bit bolder in society, and Lord, ultimately knowing that we've got to be close to you, Lord, I pray that you will be glorified in our lives. If there are things that we are doing wrong, Lord, just highlight them for us, Lord. Help us to change. Lord, we want to say like Paul, Lord, for me to live is Christ. Lord, I need to become less so that you can become more. So, Lord, not what we want, but, Lord, what you want. Lord, let us be a blessing to others. As you bless us, help us to be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus. Amen.